There are some situations in life that seem hopeless. Oftentimes, in those situations, there's only one possible outcome that would bring hope or that would bring a positive outcome that would help things turn out well. In the movie Star Wars, Princess Leia sends a message to Obi-Wan Kenobi in which she says, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope." In the movie Apollo 13, astronaut Jim Lovell delivers the famous line, "Houston, we have a problem." Their only hope was for the people back in Houston to put together a plan to bring them rescue from their problem. In 2018, a youth soccer team in Thailand became stuck in a cave due to flooding, and they were completely without hope for getting out. However, there was a team of British cave divers and some Thai Navy SEALs, and they put together a plan and they rescued every single one of those boys. You see, sometimes we find ourselves in a hopeless situation and there's only one means of escape. Today we're going to talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to learn why the resurrection is our only hope. Before we do, we want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him miraculously, supernaturally, to speak to us. In this church, we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe in the power of God's word. So we want him to speak to us today. So join me in prayer as we ask him to speak to us. God, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. Thank you that we can open your word and study your word and learn more about you and learn more about your ways for us. And God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us this day. Lord, would you teach us more about the resurrection? Teach us more about how the resurrection is our only hope. Teach us more about how we desperately need the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you encourage us? Would you challenge us? Would you convict us? Would you save us? Those who need salvation. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. It's the defining characteristic of the Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what separates Christianity from other religions. The Apostle Paul, an early Christian convert and an early missionary, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Is that it? Watch this. There you go. "That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." We got to have the resurrection. We need that second slide, right? "That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." This is the message that Paul passed on to others. This message is the defining message of Christianity. Here it is again. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised. That is the defining message that Paul wanted to pass on, because the resurrection changes everything. Every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the beginning of the New Testament, each one contains a historical account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read one to you this morning from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 says this. "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. They were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?' Looking up, they noticed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. They were alarmed." "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." They went out and ran from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them, and they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. This is the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Mark. And I can imagine if I was there and someone had risen from the dead, I would also be astonished and afraid, right? And if there's an angel in my presence saying, "You're looking for Jesus, right? He's not here. Just as he told you, he has risen from the dead." This is the defining characteristic. Jesus really did rise from the dead. This is historically accurate. You can look in history. It is mind-boggling that people think the resurrection didn't happen. There are historical accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He really did rise from the dead. His resurrection really did change everything. And his resurrection really is our only hope. So this morning, let's talk about two ways that the resurrection is our only hope. You know, oftentimes on holidays, I'd like to get everybody out on time to go home and have lunch. So there's only 2 points this morning, okay? So first, the resurrection is our only hope for new life. The resurrection is our only hope for new life. If you have a bulletin, you can write that in there or wherever you like. Write that down. Or if you have a really good memory, just remember it. The reality is sin brings death into our world and into our lives. Now, I know we have a lot of folks here who may be guests, may be new to church, may be new to what the Bible teaches us. Here's what sin is, okay? Sin is when we depart from God's design. That's what it is. When you do something or when I do something other than what God designed for us. So here's a really simple example that most people recognize is a sin. God designed for us to not steal. When you steal something, that's a sin because you broke God's design. Not necessarily because you did something bad, it's because you departed from God's design. And the Bible says all of us have sinned, all of us have departed from God's design. And when we sin, it brings death into our world and into our lives. Sin brings hopelessness into our world and into our lives. Sin brings sorrow into our world and into our lives. Sin brings brokenness into our world and into our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks to this reality because we need newness. We need life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world." This is what sin does. That's not good, in case you're not awake right now. That's not good that we are dead in our trespasses. We are dead in our sins. But Ephesians 2 goes on to say in verses 4 and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace." We were dead in our sins. We needed new life. And God, who is rich in mercy, gave us and gives us new life through Jesus. We can also live a new way on the earth. You know, a lot of times when we think about new life, we think about eternity, and that's true. But we can also live a new way on the earth now. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life." Did you catch that? The resurrection gives us the ability to walk in a new way of life. Here's what that means. Because of the resurrection, you no longer have to sin. Because of the resurrection, I no longer have to sin. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to be selfish. We don't have to be lustful. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to be prejudiced. We don't have to be greedy. We don't have to be hateful. We don't have to be impatient. Talking to myself mostly on that one. We don't have to be controlling. That's probably me also. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be complainers. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be addicts. We don't have to be gluttons. We don't have to be apathetic. We don't have to dishonor our parents. We don't have to elevate other things in the place of God. We don't have to be afraid to tell other people about Jesus. We don't have to cheat. We don't have to lie. We don't have to steal. We don't have to envy. We don't have to dishonor those in authority. We don't have to yearn for power and prestige. And I could go on. Some of you are saying, he didn't name my sin. And all other sins, we no longer have to do that. Because of the resurrection, we are made new. And it is only by the resurrection that we are made new. The resurrection is our only hope for new life. So if you want to be made new today, give your life to Jesus. And if you've already given your life to Jesus, as so many in this room have done, walk in a new way of life. Do not forget that you are made new. You are not your old self. You are a new creation. Peter was one of the very first people on earth to follow Jesus, one of the oldest, longest serving Christians at the early part of Christianity. And he spent his final days following Jesus faithfully. And here's what Peter said towards the end of his life on the earth in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is the common message of all the early Christians, all the early apostles, all the early pastors, all the early church leaders. It is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us new life. And we should never forget that, church. We should never forget the power of the resurrection and how it is our only hope. Through the resurrection, we experience a new birth. Through the resurrection, we experience a living hope. The resurrection is our only hope for new life. Second, the resurrection is our only hope for the next life. The resurrection is our only hope for the next life. I don't know if you've thought about this lately, but what happens when this life is over? Some of us think that we're going to live a long time, but I'll tell you this, after talking to a lot of elderly people since I've been a pastor, they'll tell you, the older you get, the faster it goes. You hear them now, don't you? The older you get, the faster it goes, and our lives are just a small blip on the scale of eternity. What happens when this life is over? Well, a lot of people have said something about this throughout the years. The ancient philosopher Plato said, "The soul of man is immortal and imperishable." Socrates said, "Death may be the greatest of all human blessings." Some of you remember when he said that. Boxer Muhammad Ali said, "I only have a short time to live. My real life is in the hereafter." Chadwick Boseman, the actor who played the Black Panther, one of my favorite movie franchises, he said, "Death is not the end. It's more of a stepping off point." A missionary, Elizabeth Elliot, said, "For the Christian, death is not the end of life, but the beginning of life as it was meant to be." I love that. She's the only one of those that I know for sure was a Christian of all those I just quoted. And I like her quote the best. Friends, there's something inside of us that frequently reminds us that life on this earth is not all that there is. Even for those who are not followers of Jesus, God has designed you in such a way, there's something within you that reminds you that there's more to this life. There's something out there beyond our short lives on the earth. The Bible speaks to this reality very clearly. And there are only two options for the next life: eternal joy with God or eternal sorrow separated from God. Those are the only two options. There's only one way to experience that eternal joy, and that is through Jesus. The Bible is very, very clear about this. By the way, also, apart from the Bible, logically, if you just stop and think about it, logically, all the religions out there cannot be true. They can't, because they contradict one another. They can all be false, but they can't all be true. And the Bible teaches that the only way to experience that next life in eternal joy with God is through Jesus Christ. The resurrection is our only hope for the next life. John, another one of the original followers of Jesus, said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And then John says very clearly, "The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Well, that's pretty clear, right? John makes it really clear. I love Paul goes on in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. He says, "For the wages," or you might say the payment, "for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love when the Bible's clear. Like, that's not hard to understand, right? What we earn by our sin is death. But what God gives us as a gift is life. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, he's like, "Well, what did Jesus say about the situation?" I'm glad you asked. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Man, I love that. Jesus said this before his resurrection. I can just imagine people had no clue what he was talking about. In fact, the disciples were shocked when he was crucified and shocked again when he rose from the dead. But Jesus was telling them really clearly, "If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life, and I'll raise you up on the last day." And Jesus will raise us to eternal life forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope that the next life is better than this life. Now, don't get me wrong. I have a good life. I have a beautiful wife. She's sitting down here. I have three ruggedly handsome sons. They're scattered around the campus somewhere. I have a loving, extended family. I have a job that I love. I live in the free state of Florida. Once in a while, I get to spend some time in the woods or on the water, and I'm fairly healthy. However, this world does have some problems, doesn't it? Recently, I was recovering from a hurt back. I was scrambling to find pants that fit my boys for Easter. I was juggling some money around, trying to pay bills. I was trying to learn how to communicate better with my wife. If somebody has that figured out, come tell me later, please. I was receiving advice from someone that I didn't ask for advice. Y'all know how that is, right? It's a lot of fun. I was applying a product to my car to make it look better, only to have the car look worse. I was fixing my broken down truck. I was trying to be a better boss. I was planning an event involving several leaders while trying not to hurt anyone's feelings during the planning of that event. I was settling disputes at home, settling disputes at church, and so much more, and that was just this week. And that's not an exaggeration. All that really happened this week. I hope I don't have to deal with any of that stuff in the next life. And here's the good news. I won't. I won't have to deal with any of that stuff in the next life. For those who experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus, there are only blessings in the next life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him." Isn't that amazing? Aren't you excited about a day with no more suffering? Children in the room, children, listen to me for a second. Aren't you excited about a future with no more bad grades on homework? Aren't you excited about your parents not getting upset at you about anything? Teenagers, aren't you excited about a day with no more awkwardness and conflict in relationships? Aren't you excited about that? I mean, I so look forward to that because I remember what that was like. And by the way, adults still have that problem too. Adults, aren't you excited about a day with no more financial issues? Wouldn't that just be great if that could just be taken away from you? It will one day. All that will be taken care of. The reality is it is hard to conceive of a world that is free of the suffering, sorrow, and annoyances that we experience in this world. That's why Paul says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived. Because it's hard to conceive of that. But it will happen. That is what God is preparing for those who love him. And that is amazing. For the next life. That, friends, is the hope of the resurrection of Jesus. That is the hope that only the resurrection brings. Through Jesus, there is hope for the next life. I want to summarize what we're learning today with this bottom line. The resurrection turns your now life into your new life and prepares you for the next life. The resurrection turns your now life into your new life and prepares you for the next life. That is all that it is in your spiritual walk. How you once were, how you were made new, and how you will be in the next life. The resurrection turns your now life into your new life and prepares you for the next life. I bet most of y'all can remember that if you really try. What was that preacher's sermon about? I remember now, new, and next. That's close enough, right? If you can just remember that. Take your now life, turn it into your new life, and prepares you for the next life. Jesus can take you where you are now, and he can make you into something new. And he can prepare you for what comes next. And here's the reality. I know this to be true because people tell me this. I know this is absolutely true. Some of you think that you cannot be changed. But you can. Here's the thing about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're not changing by your power. It's not you. This is the holy God of the universe who created all things. And just hang with me here for a second in this reality. If God can make everything that we know in this cosmos out of nothing, can't he change you? You really think you're more difficult than the entire cosmos and the other 8 billion people on this planet? If God can change anyone, he can change you. And he can change anyone. The power of the resurrection can change your life and make you new by the power of the resurrection. The other thing is, some of you don't feel like you're prepared for the next life. Perhaps someone asks you the question of, what do you think happens after this life? You don't even really want to think about it. I don't know. I don't want to think about that. You don't feel prepared. You don't know what awaits you. You may even be fearful about what awaits you. Well, you can be prepared for the next life by the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, and he will give you a hope and a future that is sure and promised by his power. Not by you, but by him and what he has done. The resurrection turns your now life into your new life and prepares you for the next life. Here's one thing you can walk away with from today's sermon on the resurrection. Here's one challenge you can give yourself this week. Find your hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Find your hope in the resurrection of Jesus. I started the sermon by talking about some of us find ourselves in hopeless situations. Find your hope in the resurrection of Jesus. No matter what it is you're going through, Jesus can bring you new life and he can prepare you for the next life. And let me just simplify it for you real quickly. That's all you really need. That's all there is, this life and the next life. Those are the only two options. There's no past life. It's this life or the next life. Jesus can give you new life now, and he can give you hope for the future of the next life. So if you're hopeless, find your hope in Jesus Christ. Have hope for new life now. Have hope for what awaits you in the next life. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response. We're going to respond to how God might be talking to us, speaking to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. But before we do, I want to make sure everyone understands this very clearly. Y'all see how I just put my stuff away? You can do that too if you want. Some of you already have. It's okay. People are sometimes like, it's all right. Just put it away and listen. But here's what I want you to know. Some of you have decided to follow Jesus long ago, or maybe recently, doesn't matter. I want to remind you about the new life you have in Jesus. I can't look at everybody simultaneously, but you can all look at me. But here's what I want you to know. You can live the new life that God has called you to live. You can do that. Don't give up on the power of the resurrection. God has not given up on you. Don't give up on the power of the resurrection. You can live the life God has called you to live. Don't give up. Renew that power. Have hope in the power of the resurrection. For those of you here this morning that you've never given your life to Jesus, the Bible is completely accurate when it says that you are dead in your sins. You are lost in your sins. You are separated from God in your sins. And what awaits you in the next life is more horrible than anything you can conceive. Paul talked about earlier what awaits those who are in Jesus is better than anything we can conceive. So also for those who are not in Christ, it's more horrible than anything we can conceive. The Bible talks about it, and it's never referred to in a good way. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternal fire, eternal smoke, agony. It's terrible. I'm not trying to discourage you this Easter morning. You're like, geez, take it easy, buddy. Listen, this is what you need to hear. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in death. You don't have to stay in lostness. You don't have to stay awaiting a future of hopelessness. The resurrection is your only hope for new life and for the next life. You can give your life to Jesus this morning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, will not die, but will have everlasting life. I was reading this morning in my daily Bible reading, Romans chapter 10. I'm in the book of Romans right now, and I'm just reminded of Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Because you might say, all right, Matt, I think I realize that I'm in sin and I need to be made new. I need forgiveness. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that. Romans chapter 8, 9, and 10 are very complicated. It is. It's like one of the most complicating parts of the Bible. But the Apostle Paul, I think, wanted to make it really clear for us in the middle of all that complication to say, here's the bottom line. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. That's what I want you to hear this morning. If you're still in sin, if you're still in lostness, call upon the name of Jesus. Ask him to save you to make you new, give you hope for this life, for a new life now, and hope for the next life. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response. And as we sing, I want to invite you. I know there's a lot of people here. You might be like, hey, I don't like standing up in front of people. I want to invite you to walk down and come talk to me as we sing, or talk to our other pastor, Pastor Richard. He'll be down here as well. Just say, I need to give my life to Jesus. Or if there's any other spiritual decision you need to make, whatever it might be, fill in the blank. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you have a question. We want to invite you to come down, talk to one of our pastors. But I want to invite everyone in this room to respond in some way. How? Ask yourself this question right now. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to me right now? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Is he calling you to respond in some way? Would you do that as we sing, however he's leading you? Church, I am so glad to speak to you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It never gets old. It is my joy to share with you that the resurrection is our only hope. Would you join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing?